Hello and welcome to Walk Humble. I'm your host, Brandon Cox. I love doing this, love sharing on this podcast. It's been a little bit since the previous episode till now, but I'm getting back into the swing of things and just want to pick things up again. Walk Humble is a place where we have conversations. We host conversations about things that a lot of us feel, think, wrestle with, struggle with. They may be big questions or objections or stress points. We might deal with things like, you know, faith deconstruction or things like that. Those are the kinds of subjects that we tackle. And today, I wanted to tackle one that's pretty common. A lot of us wrestle with, at least we wonder, what exactly this is all about. I want to talk today about how to have complete joy. But I want to preface it right up front by acknowledging the difficulty imposed in that title. When I talk about having complete joy, I would not blame you. I myself feel some skepticism about the concept of experiencing complete joy. And I think there are several reasons for that. First of all, life isn't always happy. It isn't always easy. Sometimes things are really hard. Things in the world are hard. They're harder in some places in the world than others. They're harder in some pockets, some regions than other regions of the world. And even wherever you live life and where I live life, life gets hard sometimes. It gets difficult. And so when we talk about having complete joy, that almost feels impossible. It almost feels like a false promise. And I would even say that if you are listening to any kind of Christian teaching that promises you that you can be completely happy all the time and that you will never endure difficulty, that can be completely absolved, that you can be 100% healed and immune from problems and pain and suffering, I would say that is baloney, okay? That is not good theology. The Bible is filled with stories of people who went through loss and grief and rejection and slavery, people who dealt with all kinds of major, huge problems, issues of human suffering. And yet, Jesus came along, and even before he went to the cross, he made this bold declaration about joy. Over in John 15, let me just read a couple of verses to you that are pretty poignant. He said, "As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Abide in my love." Literally means remain or live. Live your life in the context of my love. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So that your joy may be complete. So Jesus promised something or made available to us something that most of us have a hard time connecting with. And again, if you're listening to this and you feel some measure of skepticism, I wouldn't blame you at all for feeling that. It's quite natural for that. I think one of the reasons, another reason, why we struggle with this concept of embracing that we can experience complete joy is because we have been taught a theology that says happiness is temporary, joy is something deeper. And what we really mean by that, sometimes if we're honest, is joy isn't happy. Like we sort of insinuate in that, you know, having joy, you might just be miserable, but somewhere down there, you probably got joy. And I think happiness and joy are much more alike and intertwined. Those concepts are not nearly as separate in Scripture as we think they are. In fact, Randy Alcorn wrote a great book about happiness and the theme of happiness throughout Scripture. So if you're looking to study more on that theme, grab that book. It's fantastic. But I want to talk about what Jesus said, making your joy complete. He went on to say, so he started there and he said, if you love me, you'll abide in my love. And if you abide in my love, then your joy might be complete. I've said these things to you so that you might have complete joy. Then he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer because the servant doesn't know what the master's doing. But I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commandments so you may love one another." Now, there's a lot there, and I want to unpack it a little bit. But I want to preface it in this way. Back in the holidays of last year, my wife was having a conversation with someone who was from a very different culture and a very different part of the world. Someone of a different ethnicity, who grew up surrounded by a different religious setting than ours, and who really grew up in an atmosphere that was not nearly as affluent as what we experience here in suburban America. Okay, so as she's having this conversation, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, and she asked this gentleman the question, are there any deals you're hoping to grab on Black Friday? Just came up in conversation. And his response was, he kind of laughed and he said, "We need nothing. We need nothing." And that was his only answer. He didn't go on to say, "But I would like a new TV or anything like that." Just was, "We need nothing." And I think that was very telling, because one of the reasons why we struggle to believe that complete joy is possible is because our expectations are often rooted in our sense of consumerism. That is, we can go buy what we want when we want it, and that's the society in which we live. And when I can't go buy it, when I don't feel like I can afford it, when things are not available to me, when life gets hard, money gets tight, people around me are not relating to me the way I want them to, I assume that my joy just cannot be fulfilled. But Jesus here says something altogether different. Jesus said, your joy can be complete. How? Well, if you love me and you live in my love and you love one another, if you reduce everything down to just love, if you forget about the need for material things long enough to realize that life is about love, then joy really is possible. So I want to take this passage Jesus gave us. If you want to study it later, it's John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. John 15, 9 to 17. And I just want to bring out four ways that joy comes within reach, according to Jesus. And the first one is this. If you want to have complete joy in your life, joy that is fulfilling, joy that is full, joy that is complete, then you need to first trust that you are completely loved. So Jesus came to demonstrate the love of God, to declare and demonstrate and prove the love of God for us. And he did that in his life and his teachings, in his acts of ministry. He especially did that in the cross, right? So Romans 5 and other passages say this is how God showed his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So because the cross happened, because Jesus, as God's representative, came to earth and gave his life for us and gave himself in love to his disciples and to the movement that would follow, gave himself in love to the world that would reject him, because Jesus did that, we can therefore trust that we are completely loved. Now, I want to be really careful, because there's a difference between feeling lovable and believing that I'm loved. I don't always feel lovable. When I have failed, when I've sinned, when I've been angry, when I've been abrasive with someone, when I've been, you know, there are a lot of reasons why I might not feel lovable, why I would wonder if the creator of the universe really personally loves me. But I don't base my belief that I'm loved on a feeling of feeling lovable. Instead, I base it on the actions of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. So this is a matter of every day waking up and declaring, I am loved. I'm loved by God. I may not feel it, I may not see it, but I know it because Jesus proved it. Okay, so how do you have complete joy? You trust that you are completely loved no matter what. Okay, second, you transfer your love to other people. So Jesus said, abide in my love. That is, live in the love that I'm showing for you, that I'm demonstrating for you. And he goes on to say, love one another as I've loved you. Love one another. And as you love one another, your joy becomes more complete and more full. Why? Well, partly it's a matter of focus. It is that if all I do is focus on how bad things are and the difficulties that I'm walking through, if all I can do is focus on how unhappy I am and how if this or that changed, I would be happier, then my focus is very internal. My focus is entirely on self. But when I decide to share love with other people, my focus shifts from my problems to the suffering of others, My focus shifts outward and my worldview gets bigger and I become burdened for other people in the world. So it's partly a matter of focus, focusing on others instead of myself. It's also a matter of obedience to God, right? Loving one another, loving other people is just a matter of obeying God. And I think sometimes we think about obeying God as following God's rules so we don't get in trouble with God. But I want to give you a new word. Okay, if obedience says to you, follow the rules or you'll get in trouble, I want you to swap the word out and say, I want to be aligned with God's will. So obedience to God is not just about not sinning or keeping rules or showing up at church or doing good deeds. It's not just that. Obedience is about choosing to align with God's will in my life. And that can be in the small ways, the big ways, the everyday ways. When I choose to align with God and align with His will and His purpose, and I abide by what He has spoken and what He has said, then I'm safer, I'm healthier, I'm happier, my joy is made more full. Okay? Here's the third thing. Our joy is made more full when we value our friendship with Jesus. And friendship is tough. I am getting close to 50. I'm in my upper 40s. And when I think back to the number of friends I've had at any given time, I probably had the most friends in high school and college, right? People that I hung out with. And since high school and college, you disperse. And now you just see in the yearbook somebody you haven't seen 20 years, but years ago they said, stay cool, or whatever it may have been. And so friendships kind of scatter. And I think all of us who are adults, at least, the older we get, the more we realize that it's actually hard to make and keep friends in life. It just is. Connection is hard. Community is hard. Being friends with people is difficult. It's difficult to maintain. It requires intentionality. And so we walk through life sometimes feeling rejected. But Jesus said, I have called you friends. Now, what I love about that is that Jesus is representative of the Father, that Jesus is God. He's speaking on God's behalf. And he's saying, I'm not just an authority over you. I'm your friend. I'm here to be your friend when you have no other. And I think that there are a lot of old hymns and old songs that suggest that maybe 100 years ago, 50 years ago, we were a little more tuned into this idea than we are now. But with rampant loneliness and isolation, I think we need this truth now more than ever, that Jesus is my friend. Jesus is your friend. And when I value that friendship and I'm intentional about cultivating my friendship with Jesus, makes my joy more full. I can just tell you, I don't have answers for all the difficult questions in life. I have lots of questions about the existence of God, the mysteries of God, how God works, what God is up to. So many things I don't know for sure. So many things I can't figure out. And so many things I am not certain of. But I know that my life is, I am in a position of being healthier and happier and more joy-filled when I'm tapping into and leaning into my friendship with Jesus than when I am giving into skepticism. I'm happier and healthier when I'm trusting in and leaning into my friendship with Jesus than when I am thinking in cynical ways about life and about the world, okay? And here's the fourth thing that Jesus talks about. Embrace God's purpose for you to be fruitful, okay? Embrace God's purpose for you to be fruitful. So if you want your joy to be more complete, trust that you're completely loved. Transfer that love to other people, right? Value your friendship with Jesus and embrace God's purpose for you to be fruitful, to be fruitful. He says in this passage, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. Sometimes we hear this word fruit or think about the concept of fruitfulness, and we assume that he's talking about leading other people into a relationship with Jesus, evangelism. You know, long time ago, we would have said winning souls or whatever. I don't think I think that's far too narrow for what Jesus is trying to get at. I don't think this is just a matter of leading other people to a relationship with Christ. I think this is much bigger, that the New Testament has a lot to say about the kind of fruit that our lives bear. that I get to bear the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, so forth, that my life gets to make the world better, that I get to be salt and light. I get to flavor my world. I get to make the world a better place. I get to contribute to human flourishing. I get to leave a legacy. I get to pass faith and love on to my children, my grandchildren, my friends, my nieces and nephews. You know, all of us can bear fruit in this life because we're all going to leave life behind someday. And the ripple effects of our choosing to believe and to love and to lean in, that's going to have an effect forever. And so when I trust God's empowerment to make me fruitful, it makes all the difference in my life. Now, what's cool about that is we are taught to find happiness in what we collect, in what we consume. That if you get this or have this or go on this trip or you do this fun thing, you're going to be happy and fulfilled. And we keep trying and searching and grabbing and striving and it doesn't make it. It just doesn't work, right? But when we give our lives away, when I live for others, when I am bearing fruit in the world around me, I discover real, genuine, legitimate fulfillment. So, is complete joy possible? Well, if by that you mean that we can live a life completely absent of suffering, no. We live on planet Earth, and it's hard. What it does mean, however, is that my joy can be full when I am trusting in the love of God. I'm believing that I am loved. I'm seeing Jesus as my friend. I'm relating to him as my friend. I'm giving my life away to other people because that will always bring me greater joy than anything else. My son just did a science project for school and he grew plants hydroponically, meaning without soil. And so his experiment, his hypothesis was, I believe that you can grow edible vegetable plants without traditional soil. And if you've read about hydroponics, you already know this is possible, but for an eighth grader doing a science project, it was great. And so he planted lettuce. And at the end of the experiment, something kind of funny happened. The ones he had planted in traditional soil, just potting soil with Miracle-Gro in it, they all died. Or as he put it, they failed miserably. He wrote that in his report. But the ones that he planted and grew hydroponically, he put them in cocoa peat, he put them in water with liquid fertilizer in them, those thrived, okay? Those thrived. And I like that because we tend to think about life as bearing fruit only if all the conditions are right, only if I'm in the right kind of surroundings or settings. But truthfully, God puts us where we are and we can bear fruit where we are. And the fruit of joy is something that comes to me when I lean into friendship with Jesus, when I trust him. So let me just urge you, wherever you're at today, if you're busy, if life is hectic, if you're down, if you're sad, that is okay. Grief is a part of life. It's healthy to welcome it, to hug it, to acknowledge your pain. I do not believe that we should just suck it up and smile through it all. I don't think that's healthy. I don't think that's realistic. But I do also believe that even in the middle of a season of grief, my joy can be made complete even in the middle of suffering when I receive the truth that I'm deeply loved, that Jesus is my friend, that he calls me his friend, and that he wants to bear fruit through my life as I give myself away to others. That might be my energy, my time, my talent, whatever it is, but when I give myself away to others. So can your joy be complete? Yes, because Jesus said it could. Will it be problem-free? No, your life will not be problem-free. Can you have joy in the middle of your problems? Absolutely. But you won't find it by consuming. You'll only find it by contributing, by letting your life seep into the soil around you and bring life to others. And that's what God wants to help us to do. So may your joy be complete today. May you find fullness of joy in knowing that you are deeply loved and cherished by God. That's it. That's the broadcast today. Thanks for listening to Walk Humble. If you want to message me or have questions or you need help in some way, just hit me up. You can email me at brandon@brandonacox.com. If you want to support this podcast, just go to walkhumble.com. It'll take you over to my website, to the podcast landing page. You can give a one-time gift, $5, $10, $10,000, whatever. And I'm just appreciative of anybody that decides to do that. But I do this because I just really believe that there's some people out there who need to know that they are deeply loved, that joy is possible. So have a fantastic day.